The Canons of Dort, Chapter 5, Concerning the Perseverance of the Saints. Number 1. Those whom God, according to his purpose, calleth to the fellowship of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and regenerates by the Holy Spirit, he indeed sets free from the dominion and slavery of sin, but not entirely in this life from the flesh and the body of sin. Number 2. Hence daily sins of infirmity arise and blemishes cleave to the best works even of the saints, which furnish to them continual cause of humbling themselves before God, of fleeing to Christ crucified, of mortifying the flesh more and more by the spirit of prayers and the holy exercises of piety, and of panting after the goal of perfection, until the time when, delivered from this body of death, they shall reign with the Lamb of God in the heavens. Number 3. Because of these remains of indwelling sin, and moreover also the temptations of the world and of Satan, the converted could not continue in this grace if they were left to their own strength. But God is faithful, who confirms them in the grace once mercifully conferred on them, and powerfully preserves them in the same, even unto the end. Number 4. But though that power of God, confirming the true faithful in grace, and preserving them, is greater than what can be overcome by the flesh, yet the converted are not always so influenced and moved by God that they cannot depart in certain particular actions from the leading of grace, and be seduced by the desires of the flesh, and obey them. Wherefore they must continually watch and pray, lest they should be led into temptations, which when they do not, they may be not only violently carried away by the flesh and the world and Satan, unto grievous and atrocious sins, but they are sometimes even thus violently carried away by the righteous permission of God, which the mournful falls of David and Peter and of other saints recorded in Scripture demonstrate. Number 5. But by such enormous sins they exceedingly offend God. They incur the guilt of death. They grieve the Holy Spirit. They interrupt the exercise of faith. They most grievously wound conscience, and they sometimes lose for a time the perception of grace, until by serious repentance, returning into the way, the paternal countenance of God again shines upon them. Psalm 51:11-12. Number 6. For God, who is rich in mercy, from his immutable purpose of election, does not wholly take away his Holy Spirit from his own, even in lamentable falls, nor does he so permit them to glide down that they should fall from the grace of adoption and the state of justification, or commit the sin unto death, or against the Holy Spirit, that being deserted by him, they should cast themselves headlong into eternal destruction. Number 7. In the first place, he preserves in them, in these falls, that immortal seed by which they are regenerated, lest it should perish or be shaken out. 1 Peter 1:23. 1 John 3:9. Then by his own word and spirit he assuredly and efficaciously renews them to repentance, that from the soul they may mourn according to God for the sins committed, may seek remission in the blood of the mediator by faith with a contrite heart, and obtain it, that they may feel the favor of God again reconciled, may adore his mercies by faith, and finally work out their salvation more earnestly with fear and trembling. Number 8. So that not by their own merits or strength, but by the gratuitous mercy of God they obtain it, that they neither totally fall from faith and grace, nor finally continue in their falls and perish. Which as to themselves, not only might easily be done, but would without doubt be done, yet in respect of God it cannot at all be done, as neither can his counsel be changed, his promise fall, their vocation according to his purpose be recalled, the merit, intercession, and guardianship of Christ be rendered void, nor the sealing of the Holy Spirit become vain or be blotted out. Number 9. Of this guarding of the elect to salvation and the perseverance in the faith of the truly faithful, the faithful themselves may become certain, and are, according to the measure of their faith, by which they certainly believe themselves to be, and that they shall perpetually remain true and living members of the church, have remission of sins and eternal life. Number 10. And indeed, This certainty is not from any peculiar revelation made beyond or without the Word of God, but from the belief of the promises which God has most copiously revealed in His own Word for our comfort, by the testimony of the Holy Spirit witnessing with our spirit that we are the sons and heirs of God. Romans 8, verse 16. Finally, from the earnest and holy desire of a good conscience and good works. And of this substantial consolation of the victory to be obtained, and the infallible earnest of eternal glory, if the elect of God could be deprived in this world, they would of all men be the most miserable. Number 11. In the meanwhile, the Scripture testifies that the faithful in this life are assaulted with various doubtings of the flesh, and being placed in heavy temptations, do not always feel this full assurance of faith and certainty of perseverance. But God, the Father of all consolation, does not suffer them to be tempted above their strength, but with the temptation makes some way of escape. And by the Holy Spirit, He excites again in the same persons the certainty of perseverance. Number 12. But so far as this certainty of perseverance from rendering the truly faithful proud and carnally secure, that, on the contrary, it is the true root of humility, of filial reverential fear, of true piety, of patience in every conflict, of ardent prayers, of constancy in the cross and in the confession of the truth, and of solid joy in God. And the consideration of this benefit is the spur to the serious and continual exercise of gratitude and good works, as it appears by the testimonies of the Scriptures and the examples of the saints. Number 13. Neither even in those who are reinstated after a fall does a renewed confidence of perseverance produce licentiousness or neglect of piety, but much greater care of solicitously being guarded in the ways of God, which are prepared, that by walking in them they may retain the certainty of their own perseverance, lest on account of the abuse of His paternal benignity, the face of the merciful God should again be turned away from them, and so they should fall into heavier torments of the soul. Psalm 85, verse 8, number 14. But as it has pleased God to begin this work in us by the preaching of the gospel, so by the hearing, reading, meditation of the same, by exhortations, threatenings, promises, and moreover by the use of the sacraments, He preserves, continues, and perfects it. Number 15. This doctrine concerning the perseverance of the truly believing and saints, and of its certainty, which God has abundantly revealed in His Word to the glory of His own name, and to the comfort of pious souls, and has impressed on the hearts of the faithful, the flesh indeed does not receive. Satan hates, the world derides, the inexperienced and hypocrites violently hurry away into abuse, and the spirits of error oppose. But the spouse of Christ has always most tenderly loved it as a treasure of inestimable value, and has constantly defended it, which indeed that she may do will take care, against whom neither counsel can avail, nor any strength succeed, to whom the only God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Rejection of errors on the fifth chapter concerning the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. The orthodox doctrine having been set forth, the synod rejects the errors of those, number one, who teach that the perseverance of the truly faithful is not the effect of election or the gift of God obtained by the death of Christ, but a condition of the new covenant to be performed by man of free will, and acceded to his peremptory election and justification as they themselves speak. For the sacred scripture testifies that it follows election, and that it is given to the elect through the power of the death, resurrection, and intercession of Christ. Romans 11, verse 7. The election have obtained, the rest were hardened. Also Romans 8, 32. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ who died, yea rather who is risen again, who also sitteth at the right hand of God, who likewise intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Number 2. who teach that God indeed provides the believers with power sufficient for persevering, and is ready to preserve them in him if he performs his duty, all things, however, being furnished which are necessary to persevering in faith, and which God willeth to supply for the preservation of faith, it always depends upon the freedom of the will whether he will persevere or not persevere. For this opinion contains manifest Pelagianism, and while it willeth to make men free, makes them sacrilegious, contrary to the perpetual agreement of the evangelical doctrine, which deprives men of all ground for glorying, and ascribes to divine grace alone the praise of this benefit, and is opposite to the apostle who declares that it is God who will confirm us even to the end blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8, number 3. Who teach that true believers and regenerate persons may not only fall from justifying faith, and in like manner from grace and salvation, totally and finally, but likewise that, in fact, they not seldom do fall from it and perish eternally. For this opinion renders vain the grace itself of justification and regeneration, and a perpetual guardian care of Christ, contrary to the express words of the Apostle Paul, Romans 5, 8 and 9. If Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, much more, therefore, being now justified through his blood, we shall be saved from wrath by him. And contrary to the Apostle John, 1 John 3, verse 9, everyone that is born of God does not commit sin, because his seed remaineth in him, neither can he sin, because he is born of God. Also, contrary to the words of Jesus Christ, John 10, 28 and 29, I give eternal life to my sheep, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone tear them violently out of my hand. My Father, who gave them me, is greater than all. Neither can anyone tear them violently out of my Father's hand. Number 4. Who teach that true believers and the regenerate may sin the sin unto death, or against the Holy Spirit. But the same apostle, John chapter 5, after in the 16th and 17th verses, he has mentioned those who sin unto death, and forbidden to pray for them. Immediately verse 18 adds, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is born of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Number 5. Who teach that no certainty of future perseverance can be had in this life without special revelation. For by this doctrine, solid consolation is taken away from true believers in this life, and a doubting of the Papists brought back into the church. But the Holy Scripture everywhere requires this certainty, not from special and extraordinary revelation, but from the peculiar marks of the children of God and the most constant promises of God. In the first place, the Apostle Paul, Romans 8, verse 39, no created thing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In 1 John 3, verse 24, whoso keepeth his commandment remaineth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that we remain in him by the Spirit which he has given us. Number 6, who teach that the doctrine of perseverance and the assurance of salvation from its nature and tendency is a pillow for the flesh and injurious to piety, good conduct, prayers, and other holy exercises. But that, on the contrary, to doubt concerning it is laudable, for these persons show themselves to be ignorant of the efficacy of divine grace and of the operation of the indwelling Holy Spirit, and they contradict the Apostle John, affirming in express words, 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. We know, however, that when he shall be revealed, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And whoso has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. They are, moreover, confuted by the examples of the saints in the Old as well as in the New Testament, who, though they were certain of their own perseverance and salvation, were nevertheless assiduous in prayers and other pious exercises. Number 7. Who teach that the faith of temporary believers does not differ from justifying and saving faith except in duration alone. For Christ himself, Matthew 13:20 and Luke 8:13 and so on, besides this, manifestly constituted a threefold distinction between temporary and true believers, as he says, those receive the seed in stony ground, these in good ground, or in honest heart, Those are without root, these have a firm root. Those are destitute of fruit, these bring forth their fruit in divers measure, constantly or perseveringly. 8. Who teach that it is not absurd that the first regeneration being extinct, man should be again, yea, more often regenerated. For by this doctrine they deny the incorruptibility of the seed of God by which we are born again, contrary to the testimony of the apostle, 1 Peter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. 9. Who teach that Christ doth in no wise pray for the infallible perseverance and faith of believers, for they contradict Christ himself, who says, Luke 22, verse 32, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And John the Evangelist testifying, John 17:20, that Christ prayed not only for the apostles, but likewise for all who shall believe through their words. Verse 11, Holy Father, keep them through thy name. And verse 15, I pray not that thou mayest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.